Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for hanging around today. 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. My website is www.jbsba.com. I'm excited about Paula Lovell being back on the show. We missed her being on. It's been about a year or so since she was on, but we're so glad to have her back. Paula is the founder and the president of Lovell Communications, an outstanding small business PR firm in Nashville, Tennessee. She's also very active in the Atlanta Federal Reserve Bank, and she's our good friend. Paula, welcome back.
Good morning. Thanks. It's great to be here.
It's good to have you back. Now, remind me, now the last time we spoke on the air, you were vice chairman of the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta.
Right. Yeah. This year I have served as chairman of the board of
the
Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta. That's right.
Congratulations, folks.
Well, thanks. It's been an interesting year.
Let's say it all together. No chopped liver on the Small Business Advocate Show. Only the best for my audience.
Well, you
but
have
Paula,
some great guests.
Well, we're having a great one right now, and I'll tell you, Paula, again, and also, folks, Paula's an outstanding entrepreneur. Your business is, you know, Paula, I really think all small business owners who have weathered the last 3 years deserve to raise their hand and put it behind their neck and pat themselves on the back.
Isn't that the truth?
Don't
I
you
don't
think
know.
So?
It has been tough, and I don't know how, you probably know the numbers of the folks who, whether it has been a, you know, higher than average, you know, loss of business. What is it? One, if you last 7 years, or maybe it's 10 years, but 7 out of 10 will not survive. And I don't know how bad it's been.
It's been a much higher incidence, but primarily because there were so many that were created brand new in the late '90s.
Well, and
that probably should never have been created.
Right.
Because they were created on a business model that was based on wacky economics. It was based on dot-com economics.
It's been interesting to see those who could morph into something else, though.
Oh, yeah.
Those survived, and those who didn't have, who really weren't entrepreneurial in their way of thinking, weren't able to make that leap from something invisible to actually having something tangible.
Absolutely.
Like called revenues.
Yeah, that revenue thing. And even profit. Who would have thought about that, right?
Right, right.
Paula, you always have great insights for us for marketing our small business and our company and our products and services. And what do you got for us today?
Well, I thought maybe we'd just talk a little bit about something that had come to my mind when I was speaking to a group the other day about the fact that small business, you know, you're never going to have enough money to spend on advertising in a big way. You can never compete with the big guys. And I was just thinking about some ways to maximize marketing dollars. And I was talking to some folks in one of the so I'll just kind of go over some of those ideas
for
the next few minutes. And, you know, one of the things that we need to remember as small businesses is that we really need to join the Chamber of Commerce, not just because we need that sort of on our resume, but think about it. If you are in this kind of group and you can have access to the membership and folks who have businesses the same size as yours, you have the ability to network with them, call them up, and ask them what is working for them. For instance, if there's a business the same size as yours in retail or in service, and you notice they run a billboard all the time, and they're not your competitor, you know, the easiest thing in the world to do is just call up the owner and say, does that work for you? Tell me about that.
Right.
And people
right.
will share ideas, and it's a great way. They're not your competitor. They don't care. They're not going to give up that billboard for you. If it works, great, but you can go off and find another one.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing works with radio, newspaper, magazines, and I find that, you know, shoe leather is really important when it comes to running a small business.
Well, and I'm so glad you mentioned the Chambers of Commerce, because my audience knows that I'm a monstrous supporter of Chambers of Commerce. I've been a member of my Chamber of Commerce for over 25 years, and I just think that they do great work. And it'll cost you probably, depending on the size of your market and the size of the chamber, it'll cost you $150 to $250 a month. A year. And of course, that also depends on how big your company is. Mm-hmm. But that's one of the best investments you'll ever make.
It's a great investment.
A great marketing investment.
Absolutely, and a great educational investment. And then, you know, the other thing about that is not just to join, but to participate.
That's how you get the benefit.
Yeah, go to the meetings, volunteer to serve on a committee, head up the small business committee. Think about that. If you're heading up the small business committee and you're meeting with other entrepreneurs, it's a great networking opportunity and just a great fact-finding time.
Well, and I'll tell you something else. It really legitimizes you in the community, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. And that's part, by the way, of public relations, is creating that credibility and trust and, establishing an aura of being the place to go to.
Right, absolutely. Stand by, caller. We're going to come back with some more outstanding PR and marketing tips from one of the experts, Paula Lovell, right after these messages. It's 22. Stay with us. We're back at 17-2. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. And let me remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, Jeffrey Zabar will join us, and we'll talk about home-based business issues, also some teleworking issues with Jeffrey. And then after that, Connie Glazer is going to join us, and she's going to give us some entrepreneurial wisdom. And then after that, we'll get Joan Pride back on the show. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors as we talk about the most recent Kiplinger letter. Paula Lovell is our guest. We're talking about PR and marketing for small business, which Paula, as you've heard me say many times before, is one of the areas that small business owners do the least amount of work on. They know the least bit about. They fund the least, and I know you. I don't, as a PR company, I don't have to tell you that. You know, mm-hmm. You know that very well. It's just an area that it's not that we're uncomfortable about it. It's just that we just don't know anything about it.
Well, and we're busy. You know,
yeah.
I mean, you're so busy doing what you have to do, and typically small businesses don't have the budget to hire a PR firm or an advertising firm, and that's kind of what I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many ways to do it yourself and really reap the benefits. I know you write several columns for big publications, but there are ways that small business people can write their own column for their hometown paper
mm-hmm.
on a certain issue, and it's very welcome.
Paula, let me just stick this in real quick. I've been finding that more and more papers are looking to local people to write for them.
Well, absolutely. They're looking for local people to write. They're looking for white papers that can be produced, guest articles.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they're looking for someone to reflect back on national news. You know, we all need to get up in the morning and read the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, and know what's going on in the business community nationwide.
Right.
And then when there are certain issues and trends, it's a perfect opportunity to call the local television station if they have a business section, which most don't, but to call the local paper and say, you know, I know there's a trend about privacy and health care. I've
right.
got a little company that sells widgets that help people stay private, or I've got a service company that is in the healthcare business, and we have a software program that is, and you're not selling your product, but you're selling the fact that you're aware of what's going on and that you can be an expert to speak on a trend that's a national trend but has local implications.
Right.
And they really welcome that.
Right, absolutely. There's no question about it. And if you can become a resource for them, And you might even say, Paula, you know, there are people out there who are saying, well, wait a minute, I'm not a writer. Well, you know what? They've got writers down there. If you'll just let them know that you're a resource for them, they will call you and ask you your opinion about things, and they'll write the article with attribution to you.
Well, that's right. And, you know, another thing for small business to remember is co-op dollars for advertising,
mm-hmm.
but co-op opportunities for public relations and publicity are real important, too. For instance, maybe you're a small CPA firm, you know, one or two
mm-hmm.
people, and you have access, though, to a large client list where you could conduct a survey and get new information that becomes news, and on a quarterly basis, co-op with the newspaper to do a survey on a certain issue. You've got the database. It's a great opportunity for you to send something to remind them of your name. It's on your letterhead. What cheapest form of advertising is your own letterhead?
Right.
And send out a survey and then quarterly co-op that with the newspaper and have it on an issue they'd be interested in, and then they've got news, because the important thing about news is it has to be new.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great opportunity for them to come to rely upon you, actually, as a vendor of information.
Paula, let's talk about something, though. Let's graduate our audience just a little bit and into how to use a PR firm. Now, there are people out there who think that it's going to cost a ton of money to hire a PR firm, but the truth is they can do it in bite-sized pieces, can't they?
Well, they can, and they can do it for short periods of time, which
right.
usually, you know, you don't have to take them on for the rest of your life or for a 3-year contract or even a 1-year contract.
Right. You don't have to have a $10,000 budget.
No. You can have a project, or you can take 3 months or 6 months and say, okay, here's a budget. How would you use this money? And then have an objective and something to measure them by, because
mm-hmm.
you will be wasting your money if you don't both agree what you're going to be measured by. If the PR firm goes out there and thinks it's, you know, press releases, and you're going to be measured by how many ideas you come up with, but you are going to measure them on how many stories are written, then you have a disconnect in terms of what is success.
Right.
And then also, the best way to use a PR firm, though, is to take their advice. You know, if you want to, you want publicity about a certain service, and the PR firm says the way to get that is not through a press release, because that's not new.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, it's through a small direct mail campaign of letter writing from you,
mm-hmm.
or some kind of giveaway, or some kind of co-op situation, or a guest article that you're going to write about in the paper. You know, take their advice, because a lot of people think that when a press it's mysterious, really, Jim. A lot of people think that when a press release is written, it automatically ends up in the paper.
Yeah.
That is absolutely not the case.
That's right.
So if you say, you know, write a press release on this, a PR firm will do it for you because you're the boss. You're the one paying them.
Mm-hmm.
But what you ought to say is, do I need a press release on this? Will a press release on this end up as an article in the paper?
Mm-hmm.
And don't use them just as order takers.
Well, then you also have to think about where you're going to want that press release to be published too, right? I mean, it's...
Sure. And you know, there's so many with the you know, sort of, we are limited in terms of media because most TV stations don't have a business segment.
Right.
And
more's the pity.
That's exactly right. and you know, there are a lot of radio stations that have a lot of political talk shows.
Right.
But, you know, as you know, I'm just dying to get your show in Nashville, Tennessee, so we don't have to do it on the internet. We can listen to it on the radio.
We got to work on that, and I'm counting on you to help me with that. Stand by, Paula. We're going to take a quick break, folks. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, having a great visit with our good friend Paula Lovell. She's the president and the founder of Lovell Communication in Nashville, Tennessee. Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're getting some outstanding information and perspectives from one of the best when it comes to small business marketing and public relations. That's Paula Lovell with Lovell Communications out of Nashville, Tennessee. Paula, give us your website, please.
Oh, my website is lovell.com, www.lovell.com.
All right. What do we find when we get there?
Well, you'll find a little story about a PR firm that has... represents small business and some big business, 50 clients in 40 states, and work a lot in the service industry.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to give your listeners a tidbit about buying advertising that I think is not very well known by small business owners, and it's really important. Whether or not you're going through an agency you will be called on from time to time by the newspaper salespeople and the TV salespeople, the radio salespeople,
mm-hmm.
and they'll present a rate card to you. Here's the truth. Never go by what it says on the rate card. Always ask for more.
Mm-hmm.
Negotiate the deal. Talk about, well, you know, I want to be here, there. And make sure you look at what's on the TV station. You listen to the radio shows. And, of course, you read the publication that you're getting ready to advertise in. But if you're going to do some sort of advertising, and for small business, we generally have to do what's called call-to-action advertising,
mm-hmm.
so that you can measure it instead of branding. We just
tell
don't
us,
have enough
tell
money.
What, tell us a little bit more about what call-to-action is.
Call-to-action is, for instance, if you're having a seminar that you want to invite people to, or you
right.
have a coupon that you want to give.
How to,
branding
no,
is more, here's who we are.
Right.
You know,
call-to-action is easier. Is how you measure the performance, right?
Exactly. So then when you get the response, you understand what the response rate is to the advertising. But when you're negotiating with the salespeople, go ahead and say, you know, this is what I'm interested. I see it costs this much. And then say to them, okay, you know what? I'm a small business person. I know I'm saying $1,500 here for the next, say, three-week buy on a cable station, and they've got it all written out, and then go back to the well one more time and say, I'm just about to sign, but you know what? Can you throw in just five extra spots?
What can you do for me?
Yeah, what can you do for me?
And, you know, of course, that's good negotiating tactics for anything, buying anything these days.
Well, you don't want to be obnoxious about it, but, you know, you can. They do want to sell, and, of course, the last 3 years have been very difficult for them,
mm-hmm.
and it's starting to turn around, and there's more competition for ads time right now, and then of course you don't want to ever try to buy advertising during an election time because it's sky high. But right after the election, things really dip down, and you can really get some deals in terms of getting two for one.
What do you think about speaking of elections? All right, we got an election coming up next year, a national election, and probably a lot of locals in about a year. What do you think about contracting for time next fall in the spring before they're even thinking about the politicians and going ahead and getting that pricing nailed down for that period of time?
I think it's probably not, it won't be that low. I mean, if you get a low price, here's the problem, they'll throw you out. You come in at a low price and they'll just come back and buy you out.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you don't have anything.
Okay.
So that really doesn't work. It's better to go ahead and pick a time where you can negotiate more for your ad dollars. You know, and say, for instance, you know what? Yes, I want to be on your news, and yes, I want to be on your morning talk
mm-hmm.
show. But by the way, you've also got some late night stuff that's very inexpensive. Will you throw that in for free?
And you know, also a lot of radio stations have multiple themes. They've got country and talk and rock and who knows
right.
what else.
Right.
And
you need to study that in here. And of course, the very bottom line of everything is know who your customer is.
Mm-hmm.
Who they are, what they listen to, what they eat, where they travel, when they go, how they play.
You got to understand the demographics, don't you?
Right.
And focus on them.
That's right. You know, I have to just say one thing kind of exciting. I'm here in Nashville, Tennessee, and you mentioned the president, the election next year. There are two, Nashville, Tennessee has two organizations, Belmont University and Vanderbilt University,
mm-hmm.
that are in the bidding for the presidential debate here in Nashville,
Tennessee.
Wow,
I didn't know that.
Belmont University, who, and I'll have to give a disclaimer, a client of mine, has
right.
a great business, a small business program, and a great, it's just a great organization for small business, and they reach out to the community and put on a lot of seminars, and that's another opportunity to get for free sort of an ongoing education. Go to your local university, your community college, and see what they offer in the way of small business training. It's free. They will reach out and offer these seminars. They will bring them to you. They will.
It might be $29, but it's almost free. If it does cost you anything.
Well, and yeah, free or you're right, and it's really a great education because you're sitting in a room with people
right.
who are also in the same place, or and some who have already been there, and you can learn
right.
from.
Well said, Paula. We're going to have to wrap it up. Thank you so much for being here for these words of wisdom. You're the best.
Thank you,
Paula Lovell, ladies and gentlemen, with Lovell Communication, and that's Lovell with two L's on the end. .com. Check out our website. Find out what a small business PR firm looks like online. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, each and every one. This is Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate of this program.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.